Welcome to Beef and Forage Roundup with host Chantal McCrae. This podcast is a production of Manitoba Beef and Forage Initiatives, created to share information with farmers, producers, and agriculture enthusiasts, and to showcase the important work that is happening at MBFI. Our podcasts drop on the first and third Wednesday of each month. We will be sharing information through interviews, General Manager Mary Jane Orr, project leads for various projects, MBFI team members, speakers from our extension events, industry leaders, and industry suppliers. This podcast will dig deep into on-farm research and field testing practices related to beef cattle and forage production and efficiency and sustainability of practice in the agricultural industry in Manitoba. We will be sharing information on upcoming training and workshops, field and farm demonstration tours, education materials and events at MBFI, as well as producer profiles from around the province and information on their own trials, challenges, innovation, and results. We encourage you to browse our social media accounts and website for links to more information on projects, upcoming events, and important deadlines. Information on our social accounts and website can be found following the show and in the show notes. As always, we encourage you to email us if you have feedback, questions, or topic suggestions for the show at information@mbfi.ca. Jeff Legarden is a business development specialist with MASC and a livestock coordinator. He has been working for MASC for over 15 years and worked with Livestock Price Insurance since its beginning 10 years ago. As well as working for MASC, Jeff has his own cattle operation, which he manages along with his wife and their three sons. Welcome to the podcast today, Jeff. We're going to be talking about all things livestock price insurance today. And I'm so glad that you're able to take some time to meet with me.
Well, thanks for having me, Chantel. It's always a pleasure and always a great time to talk about livestock price insurance.
Before we jump into that, can you share a little bit about your personal history in agriculture?
Absolutely. Born and raised in the cattle industry. My mom and dad had a small Angus farm and carried it on in Saskatchewan. Been a little stint in Alberta and then moved to Manitoba. And my wife and I settled in the Grandview area where we still have a purebred cattle operation of Angus cows and a few quarter horses. And we've been in the industry the whole time.
Nice. So deeply rooted in agriculture.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about your role with livestock price insurance.
Well, my role with livestock price insurance started right from when it first came out. That was April 8th of 2014 was the first time livestock price insurance rolled out. At that time, I was a MASC insurance agent, which is now what we call the insurance specialist. And I was in Brandon at Heartland Livestock in Brandon when it first rolled out. So I've been in here for the whole 10 years of this program, promoting it, selling it. And now just in the last 3 months here, I've taken over the LPI, Livestock Price Insurance Coordinator position, which was held by Jason Dobbin, just a little bit of a restructuring from MASC's standpoint. So been with the program the whole time. Yeah, absolutely.
And can you share some information with our listeners on the history of the Livestock Price Insurance Program?
Absolutely. So it originated in Alberta when obviously what really was the turning factor that everyone saw a need for an insurance program was what we don't like to talk about, and that's the BSE that happened in Canada and affected our markets and everything that way. So from that point forward, we were always looking for a program as far as the provinces to protect or give some sort of insurance to the livestock industry. And from that, Alberta started what was called the Western Livestock, or they had it in their province. And then when it became Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Alberta, it became as Western Livestock Price Insurance. And that started on April 8th, 2010. And from that point on, we had some way of protecting our cattle future markets and protecting the bottom line of the livestock industry in the Western provinces. As it's come forward, it's not quite there yet, but they are opening it up to the Eastern market. We're gaining strength and popularity and more information. And when we're trying to definitely open it up so we get everyone covered in Canada for any of those what ifs, worries, and everything else in the cattle market.
And you've kind of answered the next question a little bit in that question, but do you want to expand on what livestock price insurance is and how it works?
Basically, livestock price insurance is a option to the cattle producer to buy a policy to protect what the futures markets or what the cattle market's going to be at a timeline farther out than in the near future, which the closest one is 12 to 36 weeks out. We're allowing producers in three different options: the calf, the feeder, and the fed market, of protecting what the markets are going to be at a certain date farther out in the program. So it's based on the calf is a 600-pound animal, which are six weights. The feeder is based on a 850-pound animal, and then the fats or the fed is based on what's settling in Alberta at that time. So, but it gives you an option to protect the markets, not your specific price on your animal, but the market and where it's at a date further out from 12 to 36 weeks out.
And how are animals insured through the program?
So they're insured based on hundredweight, not based on the animal's weight, which is the same thing, but slightly different. And it's more on the futures side of things when everything trades on hundredweight. So a 600-pound calf, which is steers that we use for the calf market, is based on 600-pound weight calves. So hundredweight would be 6 units. With the calf market, you have from 550 to 650 is where the range is on the settlement of those calves and where that price is derived from. So, and with the fed or the feeder animals, it's 850 weights. So the 100 weight would be 8.5 on every feeder animal. You can choose whatever weight you want, but you're basically buying a policy on 100 weight, not on per animal weights.
And when we're thinking about the length of policies, you mentioned just briefly a minute ago about the number of weeks. What is the length of policies and how do the claim windows work?
So the length of the policy is anywhere from 12 weeks out to 36 weeks. And that's basically time range from the time you buy it to when it expires. The expiry date on a calf table always changes based on one table to the next. And we need to start with knowing that there's every week we start in the first week in February, the calf premium table comes out and it goes to the 13th of June this year. Every week that table changes, and how many weeks out it starts with is what it is. But that's basically just telling you what at the end of the policy when it'll expire and give you a date. Now, that expiry date is basically where the last week you can settle on a policy that you have. Part of that is you also get the 3 weeks previous to your settlement date that you can settle it early. And all settlements are on a Monday after 3 o'clock when they produce a settlement price. So you have the 3 weeks prior to the date that your expiry is to claim a window.
Is there an advantage to selecting an earlier or later end of claim date?
Most producers look at the expiry date or the window date to represent what is actually happening in on their own farm or in their own herd, and one, to make sure they have their hundredweight at the end of the policy, meaning if you're a January calver and you want that September expiry date, because that's when you market your cattle and your weight's going to be there, they have that option. But if they so choose to go out to a November, which is probably 36 weeks out, and their cattle are heavier, but that's what window they feel they want to be in, it gives them that option. That's where it changes. And then on the flip side, if you've got the May, June calvers, they need the full 36 weeks to get to their 100 weight and normally where they market. So we try to give them all the flexibility and all the options that they feel they need and want to pick a spot in the premium table that's right for their operation.
And during the claim window, which we've talked about a little bit, it's recommended to monitor the settlement indexes. How are the indexes generated, and what should producers be watching for?
The settlement indexes are based on all the livestock auction markets in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, for the Sassman, and all the ones in Alberta reporting their averages for the week previous. And then the week previous, we produce a settlement index on the Monday after 3:30. It also takes in effect direct sales and team sales as well, the online ones, and produces that based on the average of all the livestock that have been sold the previous week at all the auction barns and direct sales with the ones and twos out. And that is the average that is based. So that's where the settlement index comes from.
And what happens for producers if prices are higher than the livestock is insured for at the end of their policy?
So if there is no difference, or if you're above your index, you basically just pay your premium, which you can go 30 days past the expiry date of your policy. And it's just like any insurance, there's no payout. It's when you're below the index that you have taken a policy out that you'll get the difference between what your policy was and what the settlement index is. And that can be anywhere from $2 per hundred down to anywhere to, we've seen, $50, $60 per hundred.
This might be a good spot to just chat about the price of policies. So, what can producers expect to pay for their premiums in order to have the policy?
So that's a really loaded question, and that's every year is different, Chantel. And I really been since I've been with the program, I did one a couple of years ago. I had a spreadsheet where I'd bought every year I've bought a policy, and the premiums have been all over the map. Where we've seen 5, 6 years ago, we were on an extremely high rallying market, and actually, I believe it was around 2018 or somewhere in there, and there was very little fluctuation in the futures market. Our dollar was low and steady, and everything was just climbing. And we had policies where you could buy a dollar per hundredweight or even less. It was down into the 50, 60 cents. So there was producers that were insuring 100 head of 6-weight animals for just around $100. Now it was lower in the premium table. We've also seen it upwards to $10 per hundredweight. And this year, with the volatility in the market and the futures price rallying and crashing, and especially in the last month and a half, we've seen so much volatility that premiums for these indexes have really risen. And obviously, it's based on time, money, and risk. And right now, we're seeing it hugely that we've seen up to $11 per hundred premium at the top of the table. So that works out to over $66 a calf. Now, just in the last couple of weeks, as we've gone out, and when I want to speak about that, I did an article and I also did a stock talk presentation. And on March 6th, the top of the calf market was 392. So basically, we were saying that the market 28 weeks out was roughly going to be $3.92 per pound on a 6-weight animal, which was exciting and awesome. And almost just over 30 days later in April, we're down to 384. And even the week before that, we saw 366 on that same market. So $30 per hundredweight is a huge change in the market. And what brought that on was obviously a little scare, avian flu, and also some questions in the market, and the futures dropped hugely, thinking that some traders were on the wrong side of the position. But yeah, that's how much swing we can see in the market. And our premiums have been anywhere from upwards of 11 down into that 8-9 for that same policy.
Can you send me the link to the article and the stock talk presentation, and I'll like link those into the show notes for our listeners?
Absolutely, I'll get that to you. Yeah.
How do policies differ between calves, feeder cattle, and fed cattle, and how can you distinguish between these?
So anytime you're on the website or if you're looking at it, the difference between them is a calf policy is based on what we all in the industry call a wet nose calf or a just weaned calf, or that's what anything that's still in the mother, that's what a calf policy is. And like I said before, Chantel, it's based on the 6-weight animal, but we take into the effect of the 550s to the 650s. The feeders are your grass cattle or cattle coming off the cow into a feedlot, backgrounded or anything, and they're the 850 weight steers, which is 750 to 950 we take. And then the fed cattle, obviously, are your fat cattle that are going to slaughter. And all three of these are policies that are separate. With that being said, a producer at any time can have a policy on a calf and then decide he's going to retain those calves and not sell them right off the cow. He can now buy a feeder policy to protect himself throughout feeding that calf through in the feedlot, and then actually take the third policy if he wanted to, and take a fed policy on those cattle that he's going to take right to slaughter. So all three are separate, but you can have three policies on the same animal throughout the whole duration of that animal's life.
And does it make any difference for the policies, say, if a producer has the calves, they've weaned them, and then they send them to somebody else's feedlot, but they are still retaining ownership and just having them custom fed?
No, as long as they're fed in Manitoba, there is the terms and conditions. And I think that's a big thing we need to make sure of. Number one, the term and conditions say that you have to own the cattle within 60 days of the policy. So that being said, if you see a market that is short term, that is a really big rally, you want to take advantage of it, but your expiry date on your index is not for another 20, 30 days. As long as you own the cattle for 60 days, you can sell them at any time. It's not based on what you sell them on. It's based on what the average market is at the end of their expiry date that your price will be based on. So you can sell them at any time. That's a big thing. But we do say the cattle have to be your owned. You cannot take a policy out on somebody else's, and they have to be fed in Manitoba.
And can producers insure calves regardless of what time of the year they're born?
Absolutely. So one, that's why we go out 36 weeks. And obviously, as we get to the end of the, or closer to June 13th, we'll get almost to the end of December. But absolutely, as long as you know you've got, you own the cow, we'll take that, no problem. And if you see a policy that you think is a really good one, where we see, like I spoke earlier, at that 392, and it goes out the 36 weeks and it's into November and your calves aren't even born yet, but you know this is a policy that will really protect your bottom line, go ahead, purchase a policy. Obviously, you have to have your 100 weight at the end of the policy as well. So just make sure we don't do a full 100% of the calf crop that hasn't hit the ground. And most people don't. They usually pull some of the heifers that they retain out and just do it on what they feel they always typically market.
For producers who calve in the spring and might be looking to wean and sell calves in November or December, do they need to hold calves until after the policy ends?
No. You can sell them at any time as long as you've had them or retained ownership for 60 days. Now, when we talk about their 100 weights, so if you have 100 calves that are expected to be 600 pounds at the end of the policy, and if you sell them earlier, as long as those calves still would reflect what they were going to be and you had your 100 weight when your policy expires, that's fine. Meaning that if we had an August rally in the market and you just see that we're at $5 on five weights and you say, holy, I need to take advantage of this market. So you sell your calves at five weights, but you had a November expiry. Understandably, we know those calves by rate of gain should be six weights by the end of your expiry. No problem selling them early. There's no problem with us as long as you meet our terms and conditions, which means have your 100 weight at the end of your policy when it expires.
Is there any penalty to producers if they sell early?
No, and yes, we haven't seen any penalties brought to us because most producers do not put 100% of their calf crop or their feeder crop into the policy. They usually retain, or they don't put the full amount of weight into it. So, and we use the example all the time. If you have 100 animals, most of them are only doing 80 into the program and putting a policy on it. We have done audits, to be honest, Chantel, but we've never had anyone that was ever in question. They were always within a tolerance of very minimal numbers. So yes, we expect that you understand your weights or hopefully have a good idea on it. And most people are very reasonable at what they do for policy weight anyways. So we haven't had any paybacks or claims at this time.
But if they had a huge wreck, say they purchased their policy ahead of time, then they had, say, multiple abortions or something like that, and they didn't then have the number that they needed to have at the end of the claim, do they just have to pay that amount back? Or is there additional penalties, I guess, on top of it?
Well, the expectation, the understanding that we would have with administering the program and myself is if you ever had this catastrophic wreck at calving, or even if it was a lightning strike and you had 50 yearlings that are on grass get destroyed or killed by it, the expectation is as long as the producer's up front and calls us right away, the number one understanding is, well, it's at the start of your policy, it's not at the end. So if you're upfront with us, there's probably abilities that we can go to the administrators and say, listen, this has happened. We can get it so that the policy is null and void. If you were to take it all the way to the end, then obviously they were questioning whether there was some misrepresentation in the market. But most of those are one-offs. Those are when you talk to myself or your insurance specialist, and we'll work through making sure that everybody's on board and understands. But typically, we've never, that in my history of it, have we had a problem. We've had more producers call because they thought about selling the cows and they sold the whole herd. So with that, the policy was canceled. But if it was within the 60 days of ownership, that policy is still valid, and that producer could take advantage if the market did drop. He or she did everything that was required by us, so we're never going to take it away from them.
That's good to know. And like you said, you hope that those kind of catastrophic events don't happen, but it is good to have a bit of an idea just in case they do.
Absolutely.
Can a producer make a claim even if they decide to retain their calves to background?
100%. 100%. That's the number one thing with it, and I know I touched on it before, but the biggest thing is one, you don't ever have to sell your animals. And two, you don't have to sell them at the end of your policy. And that's the best part about this program is where's your risk? Where is the biggest fear in the cattle market for you? If you're a cow-calf guy that does background them, is it to get them to fall as a calf? We'll buy a policy. And if you decide to retain them and there's a drop in the market and you decide to retain them because the drop in the market is not favorable to selling and losing money, retain them, take the money that the difference between your index and what the settlement index was, and put it into feed. Absolutely. That's one of the beautiful parts about this program that we never, ever once do we tell the producer that they have to do anything. You don't have to provide your sales. You don't have to sell the cattle. We're giving you the option to find a price and a premium you're happy with to protect your bottom line at any time along the way.
That's a really nice reassurance, I guess, for producers is that they have that flexibility in making those decisions based on kind of what's happening 36 weeks from when they buy the policy and what they feel like they need to be doing as the next
Absolutely.
steps for their program.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to talk a little bit about some of the specifics, I guess, of purchasing policies. So, what is the blackout period and why is this important for producers to be aware of?
So the blackout periods are when, for the most part, there isn't enough cattle traded in the market to produce a settlement index, or there's enough cattle that are trading on the futures to produce a premium index. And those basically, the only time that there isn't much trade at all on the calves is we don't start till February before we start producing a premium table, and it goes till June 13th in 2024. And then we don't start settling and producing a settlement index till into September. And 100% is we have expectations with livestock price insurance to have a certain number of animals trading to be a valid settlement index. And anytime on the calf ones, obviously June and July is the time of year where, just to be clear, that the main reason is the auction marts aren't open. They shut down for those 2 summer months because at any grade or any level of the program, there's just not enough cattle that come to market at those times of year. So that's where those blackout dates are. We do offer early September settlement indexes, but you must know that the 3 weeks prior to it. So if you had an early September, typically there won't be any settlement indexes in August. So you wouldn't get the 3 weeks prior to settle early. But we do give you that if you want that early price, which sometimes has some really high values and some really good options as a producer to protect, but you don't get the three options. And that's just simply because of cattle on trade. And the Fed is all year round for the most part, but the feeder week is July and August as well. There's not a timeline, but we do have the calendar of insurance on our website to look at, and it'll highlight when there is no settlements and premiums to be given out on the blackouts. But hopefully that under explains it, Chantel. Is definitely it's based on just because we have expectations of number of cattle to trade to produce a realistic number for a settlement.
No, that makes sense. If a producer was looking at maybe getting that early September end of their policy, would it be beneficial to them to bump that back by a couple of weeks then and then start looking at those markets, say for the beginning of September, to have it like to claim it early rather than having that first week of September and then not having that information available in August?
Well, that's a loaded question, and that's a good question though too, is everybody has their opinion of where these markets go. And I'll give you the example is, a calve in January, I sell in the first week of September. That's what I do. That's when I want my policy to expire. And a lot of producers don't even look at the 3 weeks previous to settle it early. They just want to do what represents what their farm does. Then we have the other producers that say, you know what? I do this in September. I usually get a premium for my cattle because they're the heavyweights and everybody wants them and everything's good. But I know there's a hiccup, and order buyers and auctioneers and the auction markets, it's conversations always had that, bring your cattle in today because next week we're going to probably see a glut in the market. Everyone's bringing them in and there'll be shortfalls in trucks and the price may dip and dive. So that producer that wants to play the game a little bit and sell his calves early, go ahead. And if he wants that later policy because he thinks the market might dip or dive, that's his option. The producer, I shouldn't say he, but he or she can do whatever they feel as long as they have the 100 weight and they can settle it at any time that they're in the market or making money on the policy. So absolutely, that's why the table is so long, meaning that there's lots of price options and you have the three or four different week options that you want. It just gives them the flexibility to do what they want and not be told how to do it.
Can you kind of walk us through what the steps are to purchasing livestock price insurance?
Absolutely. So after 10 years, I'd hope everybody has signed up for two things. The first thing would be to get the premium table. Now, the good news is just recently, myself and Jason Dobbin, we did two YouTube videos. One is to how to find the premium table and how to sign up to get it emailed to you every day we produce it. And those are on the MASC YouTube channel. So you can subscribe to that. But if anytime you want, just go to the MASC website and scroll down to the YouTube icon, click on it, and you'll find those. But the main thing we need you to do is apply for an application and subscription, which is a form that is on the website on lpi.ca under forms, and you can find it. And it's just an application we need filled out. Or if you just want to phone one of our MASC insurance service centers, you can get one of the staff that would help walk you through filling out the form. You have to sign it and get it in. Once you have a form sent off the LPI website or to the service center, then you can at any point, get an email back to you. You can go online to do a purchase a policy. You can fill out the forms off the online LPI.ca and email them or fax them to a service center, or you can email them directly to LPI to get a policy. So the biggest thing is to get a subscription. And then you could do it online, you'll get the emailing. But the number one thing is to do that. And the second thing is to definitely get to where you're getting the email sent to you, because it's such a great resource to follow the markets, see how the premium tables and settlements change, and to get a good feel for where this market is, where it's going, and what's coming next.
Thanks. And I will make sure that I stick the links for the MASC website and the YouTube channel right into the show notes. So if there's listeners who are looking for those, you can pop to there and you'll be able to find them in the show notes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who is eligible for livestock price insurance?
Anybody and everybody that owns livestock. And obviously, we've talked about it several times, but as long as you own the livestock, you have animals that fit into the hundred weights, and you own the animals within the policy for 60 days, anybody in Manitoba, for our purposes, can purchase a policy. You don't have to be in MASC's agri insurance or lending. You can be anybody that just has bought. And the nice part is you can have one animal and buy a policy if that's all you want to do. If you want to start that low, you can buy a policy for 5 units, which is a 500 weight calf, and see and learn through the program that way. But anybody that owns livestock can be have an LPI policy.
And how are claims made?
Claims are made basically two ways. Online, if you have an online password and subscription, you can claim after 3:30 on a Monday. You have from 3:30 on to midnight to claim when you're in your expiry window, meaning your expiry date plus the 3 weeks previous to that, you can claim at any time. And you can claim a portion or the whole of your hundred weight you have. So if you've got 100 units, you could do anywhere from 10 units to all the way up to 100, any of the 3 weeks previous to your expiry date, or on your expiry date, it'll settle itself out. But you can do it online, or you can do it on a form, or you can call a MASC service center and they'll help do it for you.
What happens if a producer doesn't claim early?
Once you've bought a policy or purchased a policy and it has your index that you've covered, whether you're in the money, meaning you are above the settlement, or if you're not in the money, meaning that the settlement index is higher than what you purchased, after you have the policy, you can actually do nothing. And this has happened lots, Chantel, is where a producer buys a policy. And if they're a mixed operation, they get in the combine, they start combining, and they totally forget about anything cattle related because they're worried about their other operation. Livestock price insurance will take care of it. And basically, if you're in a payment situation and you don't do anything and it gets to your expiry date, doing nothing and you're still in the money will still send you your premium. As long as your premiums are paid, or you've paid for the policy, or they'll subtract the premiums and then send you the difference in a check, and you can actually do nothing with it. And a lot to do. If they see that this market's going the right way and there's nothing you need to do, let it expire and it'll do everything for you.
That's pretty handy, especially for those guys who are jumping into combines or trying to work on the other side of their business.
Absolutely.
Why can claiming a portion of insured weight early be beneficial to producers? And I guess, can you chat a little bit about what it would look like or why producers might choose to only claim that portion of insured weight ahead of time?
Well, the whole idea behind the 3 weeks previous to your expiry date is just producers, when this whole program was designed, wanted flexibility and they didn't want to be locked in. It was perceived that, well, you know, I have this policy, so guys will manipulate the futures and they'll hold off from dropping the price till after my policy. And we know that's not a realistic thing, but all the way along, when they developed the program, they wanted to give flexibility to the producer. So the 3 weeks before, and this is where, like I spoke a little bit about lack of trucks in the market or a weather scare or something not catastrophic, but you know, just maybe we see a fluctuation in the futures, and all of a sudden the order buyers in the fall back off for a week, and we see what was going to be right along where your index was, or if we use a number, let's say a 400 on calves, and we see all of a sudden it dipped because of pressure, either a weather scare or a trucker scare or a future scare, and they drop down to 350 on week one of the 3 weeks previous. We want to let the producer take advantage if he thought, this is just a hiccup. It's going to rally and there's going to be no money at my expiry date. Well, this gives them that option. And it's like selling canola for some of those producers as well. Everyone says don't sell all your canola on one day. Well, piecemeal it. So if you're in the money, meaning you're going to get a payout because your index is above what the settlement was, it gives them that option. So they could do, if it was $50 per hundred weight, they could do, if they had 100 units, they could do 25, 30, 50. And it still allows them that if this market isn't recovering and drops more, that they still have that opportunity to maybe get more out of the program. Just allows that producer that freedom to do what they think is the right thing or what they want to do and not just hold them accountable to one day and it's done deal.
And can you explain a little bit for people like me who don't really understand the futures, like how those work and where that information comes from?
So everything with the livestock price insurance, all is driven from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for live and fed cattle or feeder cattle. So it all comes from the Chicago Mercantile and trading every day. And it's based on the futures, Canadian dollar, and the price of barley when it comes to, or feed grains when it comes to how this price is derived and what the premium is. And the premium has a lot to do with the cost of those options, but that's where it's all coming from. It's just like all your grains and oil seeds that trade on the Chicago Mercantile and how you market your commodities on the grain side. So all these options are there, and that's how it comes from. So you can follow what's happening on the livestock on the Chicago and understand when things are going to be rallying and when they're dropping. And we've got a lot of really good tools on the Livestock Price Insurance website under the resources. And it can explain all of that. And if you're familiar with using the computer and Google and all those things, going to the LPI.ca website is something I just recommend everybody does. See where it's at, learn and walk through it. The resource tools is huge. It's got the program guide, which really explains everything specifically for producers, more than I can do just on conversation. But yeah, the tools are all there. Plus, we have these insurance specialists and lending specialists and myself that are willing to talk to anybody at any time.
Perfect. Thank you. You mentioned LPI.ca. What other resources are available online to assist producers with making decisions in regards to their policy?
All our service centers are equipped with staff that know the program, and if they don't, they'll definitely reach it out and send it to myself as well. Plus, there's the 1-800 numbers off the LPI site as well that you can find. But the resources that are there on the LPI.ca site should help you walk through some of your questions. If not, MASC's service centers, all 10 locations today, have somebody or myself willing to contact you, talk you, walk you through a program at any time, walk you through all the processes to take advantage of this program.
And thinking big picture, what can LPI do for farmers when we're thinking beyond maybe markets and prices?
Well, the number one thing is it's a peace of mind. And I can use my own experiences. Yes, I've had this thing. Had a policy all the way through on my own operation. And I look at last year or the year before, Chantel, and I can't be exact, but I had taken a policy out, probably didn't let my wife know that I had done it. But all of a sudden, in late June or July, we were getting ready to go to the lake and we get packed up and we got the camper and we're gonna enjoy some time away from the farm and work and everything else. And that's all of a sudden when we heard about Putin and what he was doing to Ukraine and how it was affecting what Russia and Ukraine was going through and how it was going to affect all commodities and markets. And there was talk on the radio as we're driving up that there's fear the cattle market may crash. And she just looked at me and she said, "You do have a policy on your calves, don't you?" And at that time, yes, I did. And I maybe didn't have enough done or at the highest price, but you know, it was just that peace of mind. And fear can drive this program lots, but even right now, when we're in a market where we actually have some extremely good prices, and for most of the cattle industry, I think we're producing an index that's in a very profitable situation. But as I indicated earlier, we saw $30 per hundred drop overnight, basically in three or four broadcasts, just because of a scare of avian flu. And the long term picture is if we can protect you today on this year's market, that may be the difference of next year and the year forward, right? So it is an insurance tool. It's not a tool to gamble on markets or anything else. It's like anything. We all want to have insurance on our house when it burns, and we just hope, we don't get there. We don't ever plan on our house burning, but it's definitely that peace of mind and reassurance that the market's going to be there.
Yeah, it kind of takes a little bit of that risk maybe out of some of those decisions. And we haven't really talked about this, but like how long term the cow calf cycle is, right? And how much difference there can be between your calving period and your selling period and what changes that can bring in the market. So it's definitely something that can bring that peace of mind for producers.
Yeah, 100%.
Is there anything that you feel like we've missed that you'd like to share with listeners today?
I really want to encourage everyone to think about LPI, and definitely, if anything, just go to the LPI website, sign up for the emails so that you can get those indexes sent to you, the premium tables and the settlements, and to have that conversation. And yes, it's been out there for 10 years, but I think the biggest thing we want to know is what affects you, and to have those questions. And if at any point you're just not thinking you're confident in the market, that we have people on staff that are willing to talk, and no question is ever considered a dumb question. We know this can be confusing, or it's just to get through and get you started. And I want to make sure everybody knows that this program's here to stay. We're here to promote it, and we want to do our best to be with you all the way through it. So, whether it's myself or any of the service centers, just reach out and we'll definitely help you through it.
It's nice to know too that producers can go and ask questions and talk to people, say, this is what I'm thinking. Can you help me achieve what I need to achieve here?
Yeah.
We've talked about LPI.ca a couple of times. Is there anywhere else that listeners can go to find out more information about the Livestock Price Insurance Program, contact information, social media to follow, etc.?
Yeah, our Facebook, MASC Facebook for sure, and Twitter. We have lots of feeds. Typically, we're putting two feeds on Facebook, I know for sure. Yeah, or even myself at any time, right? I don't know if you can add it to there or not, or even my phone number, but I'm available at any time, Chantel.
Yeah, I'll add your email and phone number to the show notes. And then I'll also stick in the information about MASC's Facebook and Twitter or X accounts as well. And then listeners, if you want to head there, you can follow along and see what's happening with those markets. Reach out for more information or for questions. And I think that kind of wraps up all of the questions that I had for you today. So just thank you so much, Jeff, for being able to take some time out of your schedule and tell us a little bit more about this program. I, in conversations, keep hearing that it's underutilized, and I'm just glad that we can share some information about it. Maybe some producers can look into it and, like you said, have that peace of mind moving forward with what their calf sales are going to look like.
Absolutely. I really appreciate, Chantel, you inviting me to talk about it. And yeah, we just want to keep promoting and keep building this program as high and heavy as we can.
Thank you for listening to today's episode on livestock price insurance with Jeff Lagarden. We will have a second episode on the same topic with producer Tyler Fulton releasing in 2 weeks. We had some really great conversations with both of these guests, And in order to not cut content, we decided to release these in two episodes, but they do have an overarching theme with livestock price insurance. Stay tuned for the episode with Tyler Fulton, where we dig into the producer perspective on livestock price insurance and also some other risk mitigation tools. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Beef and Forage Roundup. For more information on the research projects or upcoming extension events, please visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at MB Beef and Forage. For full project reports and more information about MBFI, please visit our website, mbfi.ca. If you have feedback on the show, questions about content, are interested in becoming a project partner or contributor, or want to submit a proposal for a research project topic, please email information@mbfi.ca. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe to ensure you don't miss an upcoming episode. The research programs and daily operations at MBFI would not be possible without funding from the Province of Manitoba, Government of Canada, and the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership, as well as partnership with Manitoba Agriculture, Manitoba Beef Producers, and Ducks Unlimited Canada.